Hey, everybody, it's Scott again, and welcome to another episode of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. It's a beautiful day to be alive yet again. We have a really fun episode for you today, a really unique episode. That's all I can say. But we have a lot of sponsors that make this podcast possible that we love working with. One of them is Manskirt Brewing. Manskirt Brewing is located in Hackettstown, New Jersey, right in the old bank building on Main Street. They've done a lot of updates lately. Awesome murals on the wall, new seating, new new tanks, which means more beer, which is obviously the best thing. They got their Oktoberfest coming in town all week in the 29th, the 30th, and October 1st. They have their Oktoberfest lager, Rausch beer, smoked lager, but Dunkelweizen, and a dark wheat, and a German Nyquil on tap. They also have a big brew Morristown coming October 7th, so that is another thing you can go to get a lot of New Jersey beers, including Manskirt. They also have the Autumn Harvest Dinner at Genesis Farm in Blairstown on October 7th. Tickets are available at Eventbrite, and you can find them on Facebook. So go check out Manskirt Brewing and all the different things they have going on. Again, it's just an awesome place to go have a beer. Now, the Adirondack Brewery is also a great place to have a beer. Get up there this fall. Get up there this weekend. Doesn't matter, but right in beautiful Lake George, New York, there on Canada Street. One of my favorite places to absolutely visit. Looking to get up there at their Oktoberfest, which we'll get to in just a second. But they got new specials that are now available at the pub, including a Gouda Mac Burger and chimichurri steak. Very few spots remain for the Adirondack 5K, taking place on Saturday, September 16th. Enjoy a scenic run alongside beautiful Lake George, followed by a finish line party, including live music, beer, of course, food, of course, games, and more. Register available at adk5k.com, adk5k.com. And special fall pricing now available for the Adirondack Brewery's rustic private event space, the Barrel Room. Host your corporate outing, birthday party, rehearsal dinner, or more at the Adirondack Brewery. Go to adkbrewery.com/pub/parties, or just go to the website and you'll find that information. Demented Brewery is the third brewery that we are lucky to have on this podcast. They're located in Middlesex, New Jersey, and they have rotating tabs every Sunday, something new, a release every Sunday. They do a lot of different things all throughout the week, and they're just such a young brewery doing really amazing things. So go check them out at Demented Brewing, dementedbrewing.com. One of the coolest murals in that place. You definitely got to go check it out. They always have like 16 rotating taps, so a lot of things to choose from. Susan Robb is a woman out of Toronto, Canada. You've heard her name before on the podcast because she helps us wrangle some guests, Jim Johnson and Paul Templer and Dave Andrechuk, just to name a few. Susan lives out her mission to inspire others. Susan is a client partner for the Center for Leadership Studies, original home of situational leadership. CLS is deployed in over 70% of top Fortune 500 companies. Contact Susan. Get an inspirational speaker for an event. Contact her to get charitable work, to get professional development, all sorts of very, very successful people that she can hook you up with. Go find Susan Robb on LinkedIn. That is Susan Robb, R-O-B-B. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Every week I host for Trivia Revolution on Wednesdays at Tap House 15. Trivia Revolution, you could win prizes to New Jersey breweries and craft beer bars. You could be in last place and win prizes. So go on out, play some trivia. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Okay, this week on the podcast, we have a returning guest. We have a man pup returning, Kaz Pup, okay, Kazuki James. And he's going to help me convince Mike to finally admit that he's part of this fetish, this underworld that is growing in popularity. He just put out a book. We also have Kevin Goatee from Comics Watching Comics. So with that, guys, enjoy the podcast.
This is Harley Spiller, a.k.a. Inspector Collector, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Yeah, I mean, our shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Welcome back.
I think Obi farted.
Obi farting?
I think so.
It wasn't me. Maybe he farted from eating a nice
maggot sandwich.
Yeah. But Michael Berlow, happy Labor Day.
Woo!
We see you started nice and early.
Yeah, it's not too early.
Those of you listening, we started right around 10:50 today, and Mike Berlow cracked his first Hofbräu over there.
Yeah. It was all right.
Starting.
You can follow me on Untappd for my opinions.
Is that what you're going to promote at the end of the shows now?
Yeah.
You can follow me at Mike Berlow at Untappd.
You can find me on Google Plus.
You can track my drinking. trackmydrinking.com. But yeah, it's good to see you starting off. Considering we just finished drinking like 10 hours ago.
Well, we have like, I think I had two.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. I know. I see you with the flask.
I don't have a flask. There's no flask here.
It'd be great if you just like were nipping a flask all day long. But it's a beautiful Labor Day here.
Yeah. Weather picked up a little bit.
Yeah, weather is nice. It's beautiful out. In fact, I don't know what I'm going to do today. You know, that's the only reason I'm not having a beer with you. Because, like, I don't know if I want to, like, actually go do some exercise or something. Once I have a beer, it's over. Like, I'm not going to do anything, like, I don't know. I'm not going
to
go for a run or go to the gym or anything.
I'd be two, three beers in before I say, yep, day's over.
Yeah, I mean, I could have a beer and, like, go for a walk. But I'm not going to have a beer and, like, go for a run. Yeah, go lift weights or something like that. It doesn't seem to translate.
Drunken Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
All right. Well, if you hit the lottery.
Yeah. That's going to be my league. Yeah. Brought to you by the people who brought you the XFL.
You would be that guy that, like, they have, like, specials of years later how you just blew all your money, like, on awful
really
things.
Really stupid stuff.
It's amazing his spicy wine didn't take off.
Why did I invest $25 million into this?
Just some abandoned building with all these wine bottles and rotting peppers. Those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Mike said that if he won the lottery, he would try to make spicy wine for whatever reason.
Nobody's doing it. I think it'd be cool.
Might be good to cook with.
Might be.
But why don't you do it? Why don't you just get a bottle of red over there and just shove some poblanos in it and tell me how it goes?
I'll look up how to make wine. We'll give it a shot.
I just can't imagine, like, people sitting down, like, pouring themselves a nice hot wine. Like,
well, why not? It depends on, like, the food. Like, if it's something very subtle that would work with a spicy tone.
Maybe like a spicy
Merlot. I'm not talking about,
like a steak in it or something.
Like a full ghost pepper into a wine. I mean, we do it for beers. That's why I was thinking.
Maybe you could, like, stomp on, like, jalapenos barefoot and ferment the jalapeno juice.
Why'd I have a cut on my foot? Damn it! This sucks!
And snake milk, hot wine.
Milk steak.
You're like Charlie from Always Sunny.
I actually saw a video, a guy kind of when they make up some kind of food on a TV show, he tries to cook it that way, and he said the most disgusting thing was Charlie's milk steak. He said it was just slimy and gross. And
so I guess, like, what did he, like, boil the steak in milk, maybe?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I could see it just getting, like, real, like, lactosey, if that's a word. Like
dude, the lactosey.
Yeah, like a slime, like a coating.
Yeah.
Like a jelly. I like how Alex is, like, sweeping around us.
Go about your podcast business. I'm sweeping.
Yeah. I told you last night, but I feel the listeners. Yeah. I was coaching Saturday at a scrimmage, and I look across the field at one point. The ref blows a whistle or whatever, and this kid's, like, jumping up and down. I'm like, oh, he must have hitting the balls. Like, it happens all the time. But then I'm like, 3 seconds later, I'm like, oh, he's actually hurt, because the kid was, like, writhing in pain, like, jumping up and down. And so the ref stops the game. And usually, like, if there's an injury, they stop, you know, they blow the whistle, the kid will be down. And then, like, if the coach comes on the field, they got to sub the kid. So that's kind of, like, the rule. So I knew something was bad when the ref stopped the game and sent both teams over to the sidelines. Like, all right, everybody over to the sidelines, which means, like, there's something, some horrific injury, you know, stay away kind of. And then I see the kid, like, it looked like it must have been his dad comes out and is, like, holding him. And then, like, I think it was his mom, too. And the kid's, mm-hmm. like, in bad pain. I was talking to the ref. I'm like, what happened? He's like, oh, yeah, he definitely broke his wrist. I'm like, oh, okay. But he's like, no. He, like, broke his wrist, like, compound fracture, like, bone hanging out of the body kind of. Like, I'm like, oh, God.
That's nasty.
Yeah, and, like, I had asked the one ref, and he's like, oh, yeah, the ball hit him. Like, there's no way the ball blew apart someone's wrist like that.
I was going to – we didn't talk about it last night. That would – Did they think some kid kicked it? And
no.
Okay?
They got into, like, a tackle, and the kid definitely, like, rolled. So I'm assuming he, like, landed on his palm and then, like, rolled forward, making it, like, snap, like, or back on it. You know, like, putting his hand down to brace himself. And so they're, I walk over, and I talk to the coach a little bit. He's like, yeah, it's bad. And I look at the kid, and he's in awful pain, and, like, I see, like, the bandage on him, like they kind of tried to splint it a little bit, mm-hmm. and, like, hold it in place, and, like, it's hard to explain verbally, but, like, I saw his fingers going at one angle, and then, like, the bandage on top, like, almost at a completely different angle, meaning, like, that was covering, like, the bone that was sticking out,
yeah.
like, if that makes any sense. Oof. Audibly, but I was like, oh, boy.
Oh,
and he
God.
Was just in awful pain. And they're putting coats on him. I'm like, where is the ambulance? Like, let's go. It had to be at least 20 minutes before an ambulance gets there. And everyone's just standing on the field, like, looking at the kid. That's, like, almost the worst part, too. Like, people just watching you be injured. It's like... And they bring in an ambulance, and it was, like, not like your normal, I don't know, van kind of ambulance. It was,
okay.
like, a big... It looked like a fire truck almost. It was really, like, industrial, and it had, like, all those metal doors, and I don't know. Hard to explain also without...
I think you called it, like, almost like a fire truck last
night. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It looked like a fire truck, kind of, but, like... Sure. I don't know. And it was huge. And I'm like, why isn't this ambulance pulling right onto the field? Like, let's go. And then the idiots from the whoever was running the facility, they didn't unlock the gate where a car can get in. So, like, the kid's just sitting there while the ambulance is there. And now they're, like, trying. So then they actually come, like, walk the stretcher over and everything. But it had to be 25, 30 minutes till that kid was on his way to the hospital.
Jesus.
It was, like, brutal, man.
I was telling somebody, I mean, with... The expenses and, like, kind of story you're telling right here, I can totally see more people in an emergency going to Uber versus a real ambulance and all, because it's just freaking insane. I mean, the kid waited 35 minutes. The parents are going to have to pay probably about $700 alone for the ambulance.
I mean, if I'm that kid's parents, I'm pissed. Like, it took so long.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, where is the ambulance? Like, what... You know, what if that kid's bleeding out, you know, like, or something worse than that? Like, a fracture, a compound fracture is terribly awful, but what if he's cut an artery or something and he's just bleeding out? 20 minutes? The kid's gonna be dead.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And, like, the big thing with those, like, fractures like that is it's not just the pain. Obviously, the pain is horrific, but it's the infections that, like, that can come on from that, like, their bones being exposed or going into the dirt. And, I work with a guy, he was on a scooter. With his, like, he was playing around with his son's, like, one of those, like, motorized scooters, and he, like, left his foot down, and he, like, took off, and his foot got caught, and he, like, snapped both bones in his lower leg and had a bone sticking out, compound fracture, and he had to be rushed to the hospital, and they did surgery and put, like, these metal pins in his leg, and the doctors, like, messed it up, and it was nonstop, like, just infected, like pussy for months and months and months. And he actually had to go have surgery again and get it redone.
Yeah.
And even to this day, it's still, like, healing. Like, and that was about 3 or 4 years ago. Like,
Jesus.
It's finally looking like it's, like, a sealed scar, but, like, he went through hell with that thing. Like, had to go to wound specialists and wear compression socks all the time to try to heal it. So it's like, it's the infections that go along with it that are brutal. You know?
Yeah, I'm trying. I never had a friend that had gone through a compound. The only time I've seen it before, I was watching a wrestling pay-per-view. Do you remember Sid Vicious?
Oh, my God, yeah. He jumped off the top rope. Right?
He dropped off the second rope, and he landed funny, and compound fracture. His bone was sticking out, and it was funny. It was in the end of WCW where they were desperate to try to get people to watch.
Yeah.
So they... had this big reveal, like a mystery guy coming out. So as the guy's writhing in pain in the ring, they had to like get, I think it was Rick Steiner, run down.
Oh,
no, no, it was Road Warrior Animal or Hawk.
Oh.
They had to kick him while he had this compound fracture before they'd pin him.
That's ridiculous.
It's like, he's probably on there like, will you just,
it's like at that point the fiction dies. Like, okay, like everybody knows like the guy's dead, like hurting. Is he dead? Psycho Sid, he's dead?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, he's alive.
Yeah.
We should talk to him.
Good for him.
That'd be awesome. Rick Steiner dead?
No, he's still alive. Both of the Steiner brothers are alive.
I thought the one Steiner was dead.
No. Both of them are still alive.
Hawk's dead, right?
Animal's dead. Animal was the alcoholic where they brought into his story in WWF, and they had him fall off the Titantron.
That was his gimmick? He was just hammered?
Yeah, they brought him back, and, you know, they weren't as over as their old days, and, like, in their, this is during the Attitude Era where they're just, like, screw it every single time. And they're like, all right, we're going to, he'll do some matches, he's going to act like he's drunk, and then, like, one day they're like, oh, we're going to do an intervention, and then he's on top of the Titantron. And they climb up there, and he falls off where they say he, like, fell, like, 50 feet, but he was okay.
Nothing. They're so sensitive to his actual alcohol issue. That's terrible.
It's
really bad.
You can look it up.
It's awful. It's
terrible.
Yeah, everyone's dead.
Pretty much. Once you hit 50 and you're a wrestler, you either become a governor or you die, pretty much.
Well, like Anderson Silva, that kick was the compound fracture. That was disgusting.
Oh, that was
where he kicked
horrible.
In and like brought back.
His foot leg just kept like, on going.
And then his foot just like flopped back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible. There's a couple in like kickboxing and stuff like that I've seen online.
The shin is horrific. Supposed to be like the strongest bone in the body, so obviously you keep on kicking it, there's a chance that you're going to be the one taking the pain.
And you wonder if like these guys who are kicking for a living, like there's little stress fractures and it just takes that you know, impact to blow it apart. But it was pretty awful. But moving on from that, I guess we can get into this. I told you I wanted to do something on a little bit of paranormal stuff here.
Yeah.
So let me think here. Well, why don't we get to our guest real quick and then do it after?
Okay.
Like I said, sometimes there's guests that you don't ever imagine coming back on the show. But I did this.
Some of them we're not going to name out loud.
Yeah.
You know who you are, but
yeah, there's a good five or six that I would never want to talk to again.
I almost feel like we should say out loud or some.
Maybe I'll do on Instagram top five worst guests on the show. That'd be terrible. there were a few that were definitely snooze fests or rude. Not really. I guess we never really had anyone rude. Yeah. But anyway. This guy's not that we didn't like him, it's just I never thought we'd get this guy back on. But I originally had brought him on kind of almost as a running joke because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that...
What's so funny about me, Scott?
Good that like a year and a half later, you've come to embrace your inner man pup.
No.
You bought Callie, Scott. You play with Callie, as in costume. You have that one closet that's locked in the bedroom.
I don't have a locked closet.
Your girlfriend seems very accepting of it.
Izzy loves the dog and me, but I don't have anything else to promote on that subject.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We've all known. So I guess it was about a year and a half ago we had him on. I don't know.
About that.
Something like that. So we had this guy, Kaz Pup, or Kazuki James. He actually has a book coming out, apparently,
mm-hmm.
How to Train Your Man Pup. So it'd be good to hear. You know, you're still a little bit wild. You know, you're still a little bit raw. So we can really get you in line to be a well-trained man pup.
Scott, I'm not a man pup.
You are.
I don't need training.
Those of you who know Mike or don't know Mike, many, many a time we'd be walking. We'd be in a public setting. Mike just darts to the left, darts to the right if he sees a dog, vanishes, you know. He's consumed by. He'll blow through like a child, like knock him out of the way to go pet to pet a dog.
I mean, that's pretty true. I won't deny that piece.
Whether or not the person says yes or no, Mike's already petting the dog.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I can't wait till you get bit one day hard. Like, oh, dog? And then it's like some like some dog that had like an owner that looked just like you that beat the hell out of it every night.
I didn't know the police had that canine unit out.
Just petting some killer on his neck that like his old owner like would punch him in the neck when he got all liquored up at that time of day. But yeah, Mike has left. I remember at Kilt Fest going off to pet a dog. And then that was also great when you got that cramp on the halfway through the field.
Yeah.
You're like carrying the gear. And you're like, oh! I remember we went
Pocono
to Conshohocken Brewery. I remember you vanished off to the patio somewhere. You were petting some. Like, I was literally like, oh, this beer's pretty good. Trying to talk, and then you just like turned your back and went. I'm like, oh, okay. He must have saw a dog. Pocono Raceway. Mm-hmm. You blew off an IndyCar driver,
Sage Karam,
who is apparently pretty well known. Mm-hmm. And you went to pet a dog, and then you asked Sage Karam if he was a good boy.
Well, that was the joke of it. You brought it up to Sage. I'm like, Scott, I'm not obsessed with him. Sage, first question: are you a good boy? And he actually thought about it.
Yeah, because I don't think he realize at all what was going on. I think
the other people in the room got what I was doing.
I think he thought we were just like two wackos and like,
well, that's pretty true.
Sage, are you a good boy? And he's like, well, I guess I'm a good boy. But Mike,
how much did my sponsors pay me?
But so hopefully by the end of today, you'll announce it to the world.
I won't.
That you are a man pup.
I am not.
And so we'll get, you know, he's a pretty big name in the man pup community. So it's good that you have a direct line to him in case you have questions.
He's an interesting person, but it's not my style.
Let's get Kaz Pup on the line.
All right.
Good. That's good. I wasn't recording any of that.
Oh. Hello.
Kaz.
Hi.
What is up, man?
What is up, man?
I'm good. How's it been going?
Oh, it's going. We were just talking. Are we on speakerphone or something? Because I hear like myself bouncing back.
Yeah, slightly you are. Yeah, you're on my Mac.
Okay. Well, we're going. It's going good. We're still we're trying to force Mike to admit that he's into puppy play and that he's.
Scott, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not my
style. He's coming out towards it. We were hoping that maybe you can help him convince us today.
This is fake news.
That it's for him.
Okay. Last time we chatted about how much we've been up anyway.
Kaz, are you just on speakerphone? Because we're having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, let me,
There we go.
There we go. So last time we chatted about Mike's liking for being a pup. Anyway, I thought a husky, I believe.
Yeah.
If I recall, I said husky, and you kind of got mad at me. It's like, oh, that's so overdone. I mean,
true. There are a lot of huskies.
Oh.
I don't remember if last time we talked. Since then, Mike has acquired a dog.
Yeah.
Did he have it? Did you have Callie at the time?
No.
We did
that interview before Callie.
Yeah. So Mike has acquired a dog. So it's getting closer and closer is what I'm saying.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. So like probably when you've got your new dog, you've started to probably pick up on training and on good things to do and bad things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And how you get a positive response from your dog, and pup training is very similar to that.
Right. So, see, Mike, it's just time to embrace it. Announce it on the air today.
I understand positive the parallels, but you know, it's just not my thing.
It's your thing. But so, Kaz,
I'm super intrigued. What is it that puts you off, that makes you say it's not your thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead, Mike.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not, I'm not really a fetish guy to begin with, I guess the biggest answer is. But each to their own is my answer. I mean, when you put out the book and all, we came out to you, we wanted to talk to you and, you know, speak more about your lifestyle and the fetish, but Each yeah. your own.
Just to get, just to do research. That's what Mike's purpose
Scott,
was.
Yeah. Stop it. Stop it.
Well, I guess I guess like the important thing is like there are for some people butt play is a fetish, mm-hmm. And for other people it's a lifestyle choice, and the two different kinds of people look at butt play differently, and for some people it is just the way they naturally are as a person,
right?
That comes out as an extension of them in butt play.
So where would you say you fit into that category? I mean, which category do you say you fit into?
I probably fit into the lifestyle category because although like I define it as that because I have other kinks that I enjoy outside of pup play and sometimes those work together and sometimes they don't work together. So my fetishes don't necessarily have to interact with the pup side of me.
Right.
But the pup side of me is just kind of how I am, normally, like on a day-to-day basis. I growl at things and I bark at things and I chew things.
Okay. Now you put out a book, correct?
Yes. Yes. So, it's sort of a year and a half worth of my life that I've put into this book. It's not my autobiography or anything like that. It is a training book, so it's a manual on how to train human pups.
All right. Well, all right. So give us some tips. What would we find in the book?
Okay. So in the book, you'll find quite a lot of references and sort of guidelines of how to train in what I call it the kind, fair and effective way, and you'll find a lot of what I talk about in the book relates to training actual dogs as well. We talk about positive reinforcement, and we go through various exercises. So in my book, it'll teach you how you train to sit, how you train to come to command, how you train to have your pup be well behaved and attentive. And also we talk about the lifestyle stuff. So it talks about how you would train a pup to sort of benefit you in your day-to-day life as well.
Now, when we talk to you, your lifestyle is being the dog, and the book, for what I see, is more about the training. Did you have to lean more on the people who concentrate on the training side? Are you able to put in tips of your own being the dog itself?
It's a bit of both. So the manual is a good read for pups and for handlers. It's designed to be a little exercise book, really. So you can fit your own details on your training sheet. And it's designed so that you could go through the training with a handler and come out the other end having signed off the units. So the training units work in a pack scheme. So they work as alpha, beta, and omega. You start off obviously with omega, which is the bottom of the pack, and the skills increase as you go through the training.
Right. Now, are there people that are just like, are there people that prefer to be a handler, and are other people that prefer to be like the dog? Like, is it two different worlds, or do people do both?
Yeah, definitely. So the way we sort of describe it is owners and handlers and pups. So owners tend to be the ones who are interested in owning a pup and doing the training. Handlers are the ones that are typically handling the dogs, may not necessarily be an owner, but are there to look after and handle. And obviously the pups who are there to be trained or to bark and chew and do all of the things that dogs do.
Right. Very interesting. Very interesting. Oh, there's my feedback.
Nope. Mainly the book sort of came out of the fact that I have quite a large pack, and there's about 14 of us in my pack. And through having had pups, trained pups, been asked a lot about pups who wanted to be trained, but wanted to be trained in a formal way, so that they had a record of what they had done, what they know, and what they don't know. I'd built out of that sort of quite a lot of worksheets that we used within my pack. Mm-hmm. And so those worksheets, I sort of evolved so that other people could understand what they were and what they were for, and how to train the sort of puppy headspace, basically.
Good name for a band, Puppy Headspace.
Headspace is a great name for a band.
So, with you having 14 people in your pack, how easy is it to add on to the pack? Are you guys kind of set on a number? Can somebody just say, hey, you know, we're into this and we'd like to join your pack? What's involved in that?
Also, does the pack just like roll up into a bar like 14 deep, like fully dressed? Or like, is this like, you know, in a private setting?
I love to think of my pack as being, I don't know if you've seen Zootopia, but I love to think of my pack as being a pack of wolves like that can combine into various forms and become submarines or bridges.
Like Voltron.
Yeah. 14 of us is probably enough to do it as well. Mm. With my pack, I think we have reached a point where we're like, this is probably enough now. Because it's quite big in terms of packs. A lot of pups might only have a pup and a handler, or like have a few other pack members that fulfill their alpha, beta, and omega roles. In my pack, we have quite a large variety of it, and the variety of roles that we have are based around the people's. I guess it's based around personalities and who they are, what they enjoy, but also what they want to get out of the pack as well. Our pack is like a very close family unit, as well as a unit of you know, people that all play together. We look after each other in a family sense as well.
Oh, okay. But how long did it take to get that entire pack together? Was that just like a weekend where y'all came together, or was it like many years?
No, it's been several years. So the pack, as I know it now, has been in existence since I met my owner handler, who's also my husband. So since we've been together, I have been in packs with pups who have sort of stayed with me, even though I'm not a handler myself. I've sort of still been followed by other pups who I've gotten involved with, who I've gotten to know personally, and we've sort of stuck together and supported each other. So our pack comes from that mainly, a bunch of people who've come together and helped and supported each other, as well as getting on and having a play life together.
Now, is there any pack wars? Like, does your pack ever feud with another pack, like street fights?
It's funny the amount of times I get asked this question, actually.
Wow.
There are other packs, and like, although there's nothing serious, like we don't have any serious pack rivalry. I do like to think there's a little bit of pack rivalry, because like, where's the fun if there isn't?
Right.
But
it's like Liverpool and Manchester,
right?
Basically.
Yeah. It's not quite gang warfare, but
it can get there, is what you're saying. There's room for it.
Yeah, certainly. I think with any sort of social scene, it comes with a little bit of drama.
You know what you need? You know what needs for that to really kick off? One of the pack has to join like the other pack, like the old school, like WWF days. Like he crossed over and joined the NWO, and then it's really going to be a feud.
Yeah, certainly. me and one of the other pups in a pack, we were very close to basically being wrestlers at one point. We walked around wearing combats and boots all the time, and we had a pack uniform that we wore.
See, it's all in place. Mm. And is there room for one more in your pack? I know someone.
Why are you pointing at me?
Someone looking to get in. He's a nice guy.
Scott, why are you looking
at me?
If you need
Like an IT guy, he's really good. He'll do your like internet stuff. He's I just know a guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there was someone out there who was, like, say, a husky who was really interested in joining the pack, then we could talk about doing some training with him.
No, Kath, let me ask you something. I was wondering before, like, now, obviously, you're very out and open about it. You're writing a book. Yeah, I mean, you wrote a book and all that. But what about the are there a lot of guys that keep this secretive and keep it from their friends and family? And also, like, do you, like I'm thinking of, like, Fight Club, you know? Like, when they see each other at work, like, they don't speak about it and they just kind of see each other. Is that kind of how it is? Or
There is definitely there are definitely pups that have a very distinct line in between their like home life and their life as a pup.
Right.
There are like that. It's almost like a second coming out sometimes for some people
mm-hmm.
who they have their and I mean probably not just in pup play but in regular kink play it happens really frequently where you have people who have their regular life they have their life is probably as gay or however they associate and then also they have their life in kink
right
for some people it is a big deal. We have at Kennel Club, the club that I run, we have people who we get to know everyone that's there and there are some people who we can't take photographs of
mm-hmm.
Outside of their hoods because they're not out as gay or out as a pup. For some people, that's quite a big deal. That's like that potentially the end of their life. They could see coming, you know, they could see their life coming to an end if they were ever had to admit that they were also a pup. So there's definitely that exists. Still, even though it's now it's really big. And I get quite a big kick out of seeing a lot of people that visit Kennel Club who then I'll see online, they then get the courage to go out in their gear. They have the courage to be okay with talking on social media about
mm-hmm.
going to pub meets and being happy. Because it does, you know, the whole thing does bring a lot of joy to a lot of people. And sometimes when they find it, it's just impossible for them to keep it quiet sometimes.
I remember when we talked before, we kind of discussed how you kind of, for lack of a better term, came out to your family about your lifestyle and how it was like a relief. When you were writing the book, was there any tension to make it more of a broadened announcement about your lifestyle, or was it just more of a release to kind of just feel free and say, this is what I am?
There was a little that I had a little bit of that when I was writing it because I'm like you say, I'm very open about my lifestyle. People that know that I'm a pup and it is a part of who I am. And that how much it matters to other people varies quite a lot. My family and friends who aren't into it doesn't really matter very much to them, and other people it matters a whole lot to. So when I was writing the book, I had this sort of minor thing of, you know, this is going to go out with my name on it and now I won't be able to do anything about it once it's done.
Mm-hmm.
That said, though, I had so many people that were asking me for the book, that were asking me for help and advice on how to be a pup, how to train, how to be trained. It was sort of something that I felt like I needed to do, just mostly to help out those other people. So that kind of railroaded my fear of sort of what are people going to think when I have a book out. And I had some really interesting conversations with people at my workplace who, when I mentioned that I'd written a book and what it was about, we had some really interesting conversations about pup play that I just never expected to have with just regular people that I work with.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a lot of respect for, you know, living the life that you want to live. and especially having found something that that makes people so happy as well.
How's the book doing?
It's good. I self-published it. I didn't sort of go to any publishing houses or anything. It was all something I did off my own back. I taught myself how to use Adobe InDesign. I taught myself how to physically make a book off of the internet. It's going quite well. I published it through Amazon, who print it to order for anyone that orders it, and that part's going really well. I've had some really good feedback from some shops and some retailers as well who've looked at it and have really enjoyed it too.
There you go. Real quick, now you're also a musician, correct?
Yes.
Resistance, is that the name of the band or album?
Yeah, that's the name of the album and sort of the band.
Tell us about that real quick.
It's a really interesting musical project that I sort of embarked on a few years ago. I've been playing guitar in show bands and working in like holiday parks for years. And during that time, I had been recording myself playing guitar a lot in tiny bits and pieces. So I started to eventually compile those bits and pieces into songs. So I worked on those really hard by myself for a while. And then I found through the magic of Fiverr.com. I don't know if you know Fiverr.com.
Nope.
That's just like a little website designed for people who need jobs getting done. I decided that what I was going to do with my music was I was going to find a singer just to work on the vocals and everything for the album and, you know, maybe make a couple of songs. And I happened across this amazing singer called Sean Holton. And Sean came on board and helped me with finishing the lyrics and the vocals on the album. And we met through this tiny little get a job done website. We made a whole album out of it.
What kind of music is it? You know, electronic? Is it metal? What is it? Punk?
Yeah. So it's a little bit metal. It's a little bit electronic. It's also a little bit orchestral. It's kind of like Peter Gabriel and Pink Floyd.
All right.
And some more modern, heavier kind of metal influences in there as well.
Now, are the songs dog themed?
They are not specifically dog themed, although a lot of my life experience is in the lyrics.
Nice.
Although they're not overtly dog themed, there are themes in the music that are related to my life about sometimes I talk about what's in a name, and that's something that's quite close to my heart, having had a couple of names since I've been a pup. There are some life experience things in there.
I mean, that's kind of interesting with what Scott said. Like, you're a photographer, you're a musician, you got a full-time job. Is there times where people come up to you and talk about the man pup stuff where you're almost like, guys, that's a part of my life, but I don't need to talk about it every single moment of my life?
Yeah, no, I do. I do talk about it to loads of people. When we have the meets, there's always someone new, actually. There's always a new pup that I haven't met before that wants to talk to me about pup play, about the lifestyle, about how it works. Today, even, I had someone who I don't even know, who was quite scared, actually, to talk to me. He's a 16-year-old who somehow found me, who wanted to talk about pup play, who'd never had any experience of it before, but wanted to know what it was about and what it's like. I get questions from people all the time, from all over the world.
Awesome. Kaz, I think it's really awesome that you're so out and open, and your answers are well thought out, and they're not, like, silly. So it's It's fun to hear, and I think it's great getting you back on the cast. If people want to check out either your band or your book or your work, where's the best place for them to go?
The best place is probably Google. You can search for me, Kazuki James, and you'll find my album stuff. You'll find on iTunes and Spotify and Amazon Music and all those good places. You can download it. You can stream it. The book, obviously, you can search for me on Amazon, Kazuki James, and you'll find the book on there. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Kazpup. And you can always message me anytime you like with ridiculous questions. And so long as I'm awake, I will try and reply.
All right. Awesome. We need a copy of the book written out to Mike, I think. To Mike from Kaz, welcome to the club. if you want to send that over, it would be much appreciated.
Okay, deal. I think
so. Well, Kaz, thanks so much, and tell me how Mike is when you guys meet up, all right?
Oh, yeah, no, I will do. We'll film some of our pup training.
Well, you come? He just got a new job, so he might be one of the guys you can't photograph.
Yeah. you could always come and join in. You could learn to be a handler.
All right.
Next time I'm in the UK, we'll hook this up.
Shoot me a message.
Kaz, thanks so much, man, and take care, and good luck with the book.
That's all right. Anytime, guys. See you later.
Take care. Well, buddy, any new thoughts? No.
I'm just going to continue to shake my head at you. Just mind you, that's not my style.
No. Good boy. You were very good during that interview.
Well, thank you, but it's still not my style.
You weren't chewing on anything.
Obi was.
No. During that interview, Obi got into a bag of trash, and there was maggots in whatever he was eating. Like the little larva. I'm like, oh boy.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know what was in there. Probably last Sunday night's dinner, because garbage doesn't go out today. But, yeah, Kaz Pup.
Always entertaining.
I like getting guests back on. I really do. Yeah. It's always like a different take. On things, but let's take a quick break. All right, the one and only Kaz Pup.
Nice guy.
Can't wait till we bring him on every year for the puppy update.
Pup date. Trademarking it.
So football season coming up
this Thursday.
Is it this? It is this Thursday.
Yeah, this Thursday and then this Sunday.
Yeah, Cowboys Giants opener. I feel like they open with the Cowboys every single year in a night game. It's kind of old.
Or the last game.
Yeah,
guaranteed for one of them.
I guess this is my age speaking, but I hate night games because I can't stay up. I can't, like, there's so many commercials packed into the Sunday. Like, it's like an 8:30 start, but it doesn't really start till like 9. Those games sometimes go to like 12:30. It's too long.
And then they go to overtime. You're like, ugh.
Football sucks in that aspect. It's too. The more and more and more I'm getting into soccer, like, I think I've always been, but I'm so, like, religiously watching it now. Like, I just love the continuous clock. I know exactly how long, like, my watching is going to be. Like, okay, it's 45 minutes, plus 45 minutes has 90, add, like, 10 on for stoppage time. That's 100 minutes, and then 20 minutes for halftime. It's like,
I mean,
okay.
It's weird. Like, I remember going to the game last year, and there was one point, I'm like, oh, God, somebody must have called a timeout, injury, something like that. And somebody's like, nope, TV timeout.
Yeah, football live is like, I get, the pageantry is fun, and like the tailgating is fun, and the getting together is fun. But football live is, there's so much downtime that you're just like, okay, when are we gonna play again?
Yeah, I mean, I remember as a like younger into football, it's like, all right, I gotta watch the 1, the 4, the 8, gotta watch Monday Night Football.
Can't do it anymore.
I mean, once I know what the Redskins did, I'm like, whatever.
That's why I'm like, I like the Giants 1 o'clock, man. 1 o'clock, watch the Giants game. And then I used to, like, at the Red Zone channel, I'd watch the 4 o'clock and then try to watch the Sunday night. You know, I'd, like have beers during the games. And, like, by, like, 8 o'clock, I'm dead. I'm, like, feeling, it's like, I want to do, like, one game and just keep the other ones on in the background and do something else. Like, I'm kind of, I'm not as into football as I used to be. I still like it, and I think the Giants are going to be good this year. But Yeah, we'll talk about the soccer game later too.
Oh, but, all right.
All right. Let's. You got what you got?
Yeah. Here. What we got here is some of the prop bets coming up for this season,
right,
and kind of see what your thoughts are on some of these. Most regular season interceptions.
Eli Manning. No.
He's tied for the highest.
He's been throwing a lot. The last two seasons, he's thrown a lot.
Who's he tied with, you think?
I'm going to go with Bortles?
Correct.
Hey.
Blake Bortles and Eli Manning are plus 550, followed by Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, and then Carson Wentz.
Look at that. Look at Scott dropping that hot football knowledge.
Ooh, look at you.
It's probably the only one I'll get right.
Hot football knowledge.
Eli's been tossing a lot. That's kind of been his downfall the last 2 years. He's got weapons, though. He's got tons of weapons this year. So that's where,
they're
no
starting
running
injured
back,
right now.
No running back, though. So
they're starting injured, though, right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Marshall's a little banged up.
Yeah, Beckham's a little banged up.
They'll be fine. Cruz is on the waiver line.
Oh, is he? He got
released. Yeah, Bears.
Bears. Yeah, he's done, man.
All right.
Okay.
Who will have a better season returning to football, Adrian Peterson or Marshawn Lynch?
I actually think both are going to be good. I think AP is going to be great in a different location. I think he's going to be re-inspired again. And where is he, New Orleans?
New Orleans.
They're a team that, like, I don't know. They got to blow that up. I think it's time for, like, a new era for them.
Obviously, they got Breeze, but they really don't have any wide receivers. They never really had a running game, and now they got two with McAllister and him.
Yeah.
So maybe they're saying, all right, let's save his arm and try the running game. But they
gone are those days of, like, Colston and that whole – I can't – I'm not going to sit here and just think. But, like, when Marcus Colston was a beast and, like, they had two other guys that were really good. Like, I don't know.
Use Reggie Bush then when everybody thought he was a flop.
I think Lynch is going to be, you know, short yardage, a lot of touchdowns. Bet you that year off has been great for him, you know, healing-wise. I see both of them having a good comeback season.
If I had to pick one, I would say Marshawn Lynch because I can see Oakland kind of get a little lead and like keep on handing off to Lynch, bash into that line where Peterson, he has to, you know, go with McAllister also. So I can see him getting like half the carries. So,
yeah.
So that would be my pick. Our friend Jay Cutler coming back to football, odds on him throwing more interceptions or more touchdowns?
I've never been a big Cutler guy.
I think
he chokes a lot in big games. I'm going more interceptions.
Yeah, it's 6-1 odds that he will throw more interceptions than touchdowns. And there's another one out there, 1-4 shot that he doesn't finish the season with the Dolphins. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where that's going. I don't see the Dolphins being a threat this year. The Raiders I'm interested in because now that's the year that expectations are on. Like, Raiders were kind of a little bit of a surprise, like how good they were last year. Now it's like, okay, now people think you're going to be really good.
And it's kind of weird, like, you want to cheer for them, and everybody's open. It's like, you're going over there.
Yeah.
You're going to Vegas.
I know.
Odds on Tony Romo getting demoted from the number one broadcast team on CBS.
I don't know. What are the odds?
I mean, they're listed as 7-1 that it happens.
That's weird that you could bet on that. Like, so who is he paired with?
Jim Nance. Phil Simms was the one that got knocked out.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. He's been doing it forever.
Yeah, I don't get. I mean, I wasn't a huge Simms fan, but he wasn't bad. I mean, it's not my go-to. I like Aikman more than
I like Kevin Burkhardt, the guy who used to do the Mets game. Now he does I think he's Fox. I think he's good.
Jay Gruden's probably the best, but they pair him with the most boring guy in Scott McCullen.
I don't know. Everybody like hates Joe Buck. I don't hate Joe Buck that much. I don't know.
He's not terrible.
I like him in baseball, actually. I like him in playoff baseball. I think he's good. But I think he gets like a worse rap than he deserves. Yeah, he's a little bit of a homer sometimes, and he's a little cheesy. But him and Troy Aikman stand 1 inch away from each other.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting one. For highest wins and highest losses, you can bet on over or under at 13.5.
Okay. Highest wins, highest losses. I got the Jets winning 2 games this year.
I got them 1.
One. Wow.
Yeah. What about wins? Do you see somebody getting 14?
So 14. I mean, if anybody you know that's the Patriots would be getting 14, I could see it for sure.
I mean, they'd...
Would it surprise you if they went 14-2? No.
Not really. I mean, the way I look at it, like, the one I give the Jets is Buffalo, because they basically said mid-preseason, screw it, give it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
throw away
Jets
everybody.
One or two games, so I'll go. Yeah. I would take the Jets 13.5. What would that be?
Under.
Yeah. And I wouldn't lay my personal money in, but I would have no problem guessing that the Patriots would be there. So I can see it both.
There's also another one on odds on Jets being favored at a game at over under 0.5.
Wow. Are they playing the Browns this year?
Were they in last place last year? I don't know.
Yeah, because the Browns are just having a fire sale, which is ridiculous.
Browns, I think, will be decent.
Really?
I can see them 5 or 6 wins this year, which is decent for them.
Yeah, they're.
I think they're on the right set. Plus, they got, like, freaking, like, 90 draft picks coming up, so.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. They're the Browns, so they always screw it up. They're like the Mets.
All right. Some more weird ones. Odds on 2 non-animal teams making the Super Bowl. Non-animal. So,
Patriots.
Buffalo Bills, Cleveland Browns, Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Chargers, Minnesota Vikings, New England Patriots, New York Giants, New York Jets, New Orleans Saints, Oakland Raiders, Pittsburgh Steelers, San Francisco 49ers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tennessee Titans, Washington Redskins.
A lot more than I thought, non-animal teams, when you read it out loud like that.
Last one that was 2 non-animals, Patriots Giants.
I could see Pat's Giants. I could see Pat's Packers. I could see, yeah, I could see it happening for sure.
Okay. A Super Bowl team where their name is a state. Arizona Cardinals, Carolina Panthers, Minnesota Vikings, New York Giants or Jets, Tennessee Titans.
The only team I could see out of that list is the Giants, if everything goes right.
Okay, and one of my favorite final ones, the color of Bill Belichick's hoodie on opening night.
Gray, baby. Gray.
That's the number one odds. There's also white and red and other.
I don't know. Gray seems to be his look. And blue. I've seen him in navy blue before.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think I'm going to be betting on any of those. But maybe the Jets at 2 wins. Mm. I might throw $10 on that. But all right. Let's get... we have a second guest coming on. He's been wanting to come on for a while. Another returning. Kevin Goatee. He's a comic, but he is also in charge of, or the creator of, a little internet show called Comics Watching Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some news to tell us about the show, so I said, come on. And I also want to trash talk his fantasy baseball team.
Oh.
So.
You whooped him, I guess.
No, I only won once. My team's horrible, but one of my wins was against him, so...
Yellow.
Oh, Kevin Goatee, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans once again.
Scott Brennan, always a pleasure indeed.
Yes, Kevin Goatee, the man whose name is associated with a very hard to pull off type of facial hair.
That is true.
It's very hard to pull. Has your last name eliminated the ability for you to grow facial hair? Like, would it be too much?
It doesn't look good on me. I've mastered the 5-day, I call it the 5-day Bradley Cooper hangover facial hair.
Where you okay.
Don't shave. 5 days, I'm fine. More than that, dicey.
Little scruff, and you're okay.
Yeah. The whole facial hair doesn't fit my motif.
I was going to say, I can't really picture you with facial hair. And if you ever grew a goatee, it would be a really horrendous decision.
He should go by Kevin Fu Manchu.
But
imagine that. That's like wearing like your own, like you're selling your own comedy t-shirt.
Exactly.
And wearing it to, like,
or if you're in a band, you're playing with your band shirt on stage.
That's so true. By the way, real sidebar. Is it just, it can't be just me. Are you guys pro or con wearing the band that you're seeing's t-shirt to the concert that
100% con for me.
Thank you very much.
I have
much.
Avoided it at all costs my entire life, and I've been going to concerts forever. Like, it's weird how it only works, though, for, like, the big arena rock band. Somehow it sounds Somehow it seems not as bad there because people are wearing like Guns N' Roses t-shirts.
It drives me fucking nuts. And I have to explain to my buddy. I saw Metallica with them this year, Guns N' Roses last year, and other things. I'm like, why the fuck are you wearing that? He goes, and his argument, albeit an okay one, he goes, well, when you go the fuck, we go to the Giants games, we're in Giants series. We go to the Yankees, when you go to the Yankee game, you wear a Yankee shirt. Right, but it just seems gay. I don't know. I was always taught by my friends, it's like, listen, you never wear the band you're seeing shirt. Like, it's just so much cooler not to. And that's when I go to a concert,
I've always been on
I
that.
Shit on the people.
Same team.
I don't think I've ever done it. I bought shirts there, but I don't think I've even, like, put them on at the show.
No.
Right.
It's a big no.
100%. Okay, yeah. All right. It's good to see that straight, white, male heterosexuals are allowed to have an opinion about something.
Yeah, that's what we fought for in Virginia that day with the tiki torches.
You know what I'm also about? I'm also, as I get older, I find people who wear too much sports gear of their team to be very creepy. Like, like if I'm going to Giants game, Mets game, I'm streamlining. It might be... Like, if I got jersey, coat, hat on, I feel it's too much. I'm kind of like...
Wait, jersey, a coat, and a hat. Well, if it's cold, you're a Met fan, so you can't really talk much about playoff baseball.
That's true.
But if it's
what about
cold,
me, you're a Phillies fan?
Yeah, exactly. You could put it in the winter. Yeah, that's fine. But wait, when you're head to toe, face paint, the anal beads around your neck, like you're at fucking Mardi Gras, that's just... fucking game.
I don't know what kind of games you go to. Yeah.
It's funny. I just was in Cincinnati for work this week, right?
Right.
It was Cincy and the Mets. I'm a Yankee fan. I had no dog in the fight. I didn't wear anything at all. And one of the guys, it was a national meeting. One of the guys there, and it always happens to these group of people, fucking wearing a Chase Utley jersey. I'm like, they're not playing them.
I hate
what
that too.
And then like a few, I don't know, 5 years ago, let's say, I was at a Yankee game against Oakland. And there are these three jerk-offs wearing Philly gear head to toe. I'm like, what the fuck is... I stopped, and I, of course, had a few beers with me. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? Yeah, we got to represent. I'm like, represent what? You're a town of losers, and your team's not even
fucking You know who's always famous for that? Scumbag Ranger fans at the Devils games.
All the time.
Maybe they're thinking it's going to be like a wrestling angle. Like the two teams are playing, all of a sudden, like the Rangers just come in with like chairs and start whooping ass.
Good God, King. That's Mark Messier's music.
The Rangers. What a joke of a franchise they are.
Shut up, stupid. Your team is boring. Have another parade in your parking lot.
Oh, yeah. How many parking lot parades have we had since you had a parade? That's correct. Shut up.
Still more cups than your team.
You're counting your cups when there were six teams in the league.
Listen, they played the games. No one's knocking the Yankees for having 27 championships. The Eagles won a bunch of super championships before they won before the Super Bowl came intact. But I don't give it to them either.
Well, go Flyers! Listen,
come on, the Rangers are right on board with the Mets. They're right in that train.
The Rangers make it the playoffs way more often than the Mets do. I see your line of thinking, but I have to.
The Rangers are just choke artists. That's what it comes down to. They have had a very, very good team. I'll give it to them for quite a while now.
This year was a rough one with those two goal leads late. Like I'm talking like a minute in the game left. They blow a 2-minute fucking goal lead against Ottawa twice.
They're not a good playoff team. Like they never can win the battles, the long 6-7 game series.
No worries. That's fair. But the Philly people, the fucking worst. Last story about why Philly people are trash. Then again, we could do a whole podcast on this.
We could.
I went to almost 10 years ago.
Right.
My brother's best friend was a Philly fan, but he's a tolerable one. So they're playing the Cardinals, and he's like,
There's a few of those out there.
Right. He got the RV ready. He got a huge RV, a shitload of people. Let's go down. I said, cool. I'm going to go down and see Albert Pujols. So we go to the game. I have a Yankee hat on. That's it. Yankee hat. Walking back to the fucking RV, and this Philly fan stopped me. He's like, Yankee fan, what are you doing here? So I'm here to see the best player in baseball. He's like, yeah, man. Ryan Howard is pretty fucking sweet, isn't he? I completely undressed this guy verbally, of course, eyes, hunka bunka.
Oh yeah. Hey,
I undressed this guy in front of his fucking friends, family. I said, "Are you retarded? You trying to tell me Ryan Howard is 250 average is better than Albert Pujols? Is a fucking Triple Crown guy every year. Fucking worst town in fucking America. Thank you very much.
Hey, he's been looking good in AAA for the Rockies.
I agree, man.
I will say one Philly story. Being a Philadelphia fan, I went to my dad got tickets to the 4th preseason game 1 year for Eagles Bills, and I'm a Redskins fan, so I don't have a dog in a fight. But we're in the This is the vet, so we're in 700 level. We don't care.
Oh, boy.
I mean, there was nothing going on there. I mean, how far back? Doug Flutie was a backup, and they wouldn't even put him in the game for
Buffalo. You know it's bad when there's a 700 level in a stadium.
Yeah. But, so we're in the 700 level, and some, like, 60, 70-year-old couple is up there by themselves, and one woman's wearing a Buffalo Bills jacket. These Eagle fans are opening up mustard packets and flicking it to the back of her coat.
I can see that.
Over a 4th preseason game.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Just to prove to them their 5th-string quarterback is way better than theirs.
Yeah, Bobby Hoyer. I was at the gym when I was living in Central Jersey.
Sure, you were.
The Super Bowl. They were trying to tell me who was the quarterback that when the Mag went down for, he was a little bit spotty, but that run they lost to the Patriots Super Bowl. Who was their quarterback? Was it was it Nick Foles? I think it was Nick Foles. Anyway, they were trying to tell me at the gym, like, yeah, Nick Foles should start the Super Bowl over at McNabb. I mean, I'm belly laughing at this point.
I don't
fucking
think it was,
yeah, I don't think it was Foles yet.
AJ, no, it was AJ. Not Nick Foles. AJ, what was his last name?
Feely.
Was it AJ?
Feely, right?
Was it?
Yeah. I'll look it up.
Whatever. AJ something. But, I mean, again, belly laughs. These people are the worst unknowledgeable fans I've ever encountered.
I'd have to.
They make Boston fans look like they're fucking Harvard graduates, which maybe some of them are.
Yeah. So like I said, wearing too much sports gear to a game.
Right.
I say anything underneath the belt is a no.
That's true. Oh, definitely. That's a definite no. Yeah. If you got sports team pants on, you should just go home.
Oh, you mean the Jet fans and their Zubas?
Yeah.
And their Zubas? Ugh.
That's like I work with a woman, and her husband happens to be Giants everything in every picture they post. Like they'll be at like a communion party, and somehow he'll squeeze in like a Giants tie. Mm. I'm like, that is serial killer 101 to me.
Oh, for the record, the backup quarterback in the Eagles Super Bowl season was Coy Detmer.
Coy Detmer, my God.
Yeah. All right, I was off then. All right, but I know, yeah, all right, you get the point.
Feely had a little string there.
He did, yeah. Coy and Ty Detmer, mm-hmm. by the way.
But yeah, this guy has Giants coats, Giants shirts, dresses the kid in Giants shirts all the time. It's like, it's too much, man. Too much Giants cap. Just wear a Giants cap. You're good to go.
Jersey, but not at a communion. Though that's just
yeah.
At a bris, it's okay.
Yeah, well, no one cares what those people do. Am I right? Am I right?
They want Hollywood quiet.
I date one. Wait a minute.
But all right, Kev. So the real reason we have you on is not to trash talk Philly fans, but we could always do that whenever we want. But comics watching comics, what's going on with that? I hear you got some news coming in.
Yeah, man. News is it's going on Amazon Video maybe a week or two. It's being uploaded right now. Amazon's very, very they have such tough demands. The slightest thing could be off, like audio could be a little bit wonky and they want you to do that, or the subtitle didn't match or this. So it's been like for the last month we've been uploading the kick it back. No, you have to trim this or do that or whatever.
Really?
So, yeah, that's it. We're going to be on Amazon in the first season's going to be on Amazon, I should say, in about a week or two. I think we've cleared all the hurdles. We're just waiting for that final. We're through. And then after that one goes on, then we'll upload two. And then once two is okayed, and then three, and then four, and then five, and then six.
And what are you up to now?
We've got six. I just finished editing season six. A couple weeks ago. So we have six in the can.
Now, what defines a season for you? Is it like
new panel?
New panel. Okay.
New panel. Okay. So the last season five is Gino Visconti, Mark Riccadonna, and Mark DeMeo. Season six is Carol Montgomery, Jason Scoop, and Gina Bruin, and of course, Jeffrey Gurian is our master panelist yet again for all upcoming seasons, as well as, you know, he was on four, he's in five, he's in six as well. So
That's all. Awesome. And it's still, you're still going like the same format in the living room. Like any changes you're trying to do, or are you just going to keep it moving forward?
The one change with Jeffrey Graham is he's the master panelist. So once we make our choice for the comic that's going to win, he gives his thumbs up or thumbs down on our decision. That's like the newest change. As for the new shit coming up the pike, nothing yet. I'm thinking about doing like an all-star panel, and that's like where the twist came in with the show is the home audience gets to play along. They get to vote on their favorite panelists. So I'm thinking of just making maybe 7, maybe end 8, like an all-star, everyone's favorite panelist. Like that's something about doing as well.
Interesting. Now, why don't we take a step back also, like, because, you know, sure. People might be hearing this the first time and not really know what the show actually is. So
right.
what is Comics Watching Comics? What is the goal, you know, and what type of show should people expect to watch?
This is a reality TV / competition show. The elevator pitch is Last Comic Standing and... Mystery Science Theater 3000 with a little bit of At Midnight, which is now canceled. That's show. Yeah, wow. Just got canceled like last
episodes.
Year.
600
episodes. Wow.
Yeah. And so the theme is this, where I get intermediate comics to come and they do their best 5 minutes. I take the footage, I bring it to my house, as you alluded to, and I have panelists who are more experienced, tenured comics watch it. They critique, they praise, offer advice. If they're bad, they let them fucking have it. We pick a winner. The panel picks a winner. And like I said, the home audience is also going to vote along at Comics Watching and on Twitter. And they're going to pick their favorite panelist that they want to see come back. So that is the gist. And then the goal of it was really to get intermediate comics more limelight than what they're getting. I mean, you know, Scott, you do stuff in the city. Comics in the city, there's so many comics, not enough spots. Some, you know, people aren't getting their fair shake. I think this is a nice other way to do it. I mean, everyone who watched Last Comic Standing, all those people are pros.
Mm-hmm.
And the panelists were a bit boring, except for Norm. Norm was the only one who shot straight. So that's the difference between that show and my show. So it's trying to promote intermediate comics, get the word out there.
Awesome.
And get some exposure. That is
now,
the goal.
How has it been doing? Like, is it mainly, it's mainly been through YouTube now, right?
Yeah, YouTube, Vimeo, Facebook, all that shit. And it's going to get yanked off all those platforms.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to bootleg it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm selling bootlegs.
Yeah. I'm going to be in the Eagles parking lot. Hey, this asshole, let's get to him.
Fuck him. He doesn't say him and him. And
he doesn't know the genius of Ryan Howard, for God's sakes.
Hilarious. It's going to get yanked off there probably within the next, you know, week or so. Or whenever it goes up here, then it's going to get, you know,
now, how's that work with Amazon? Like, you have to submit it to them and then they pick it up? Is it, do you have to pitch it to them? Like, how does that work, the whole process?
Yeah, it's like that. It's just, you got to submit, pitch, and they pick it up. If they like it or not. And they're like, yeah. I mean, they've got so much content going up right now. It's insane. You know, my advice was given to me, so this is nothing original out of my mouth, but everyone is always.
Is there ever?
Zing! Hey, you know what's original? Me making the playoffs in fantasy baseball and you not. Pow!
All right. That's all right. I'll hold on to my one win of you trash talking me for like months, and then then of course I win.
And I beat you the following time. Anyway,
yeah. Well, my team never showed up really this season.
Well, these things, got to play the games that are put in front of you.
Thing is, I should have I kind of gave up the last few weeks because I know I'm not making the playoffs, but I kind of forgot that like overall points is still in
play.
Well, but
you know what? This is the only league where it's a little dopey, where the points, the points continue to accrue for those in the playoffs. They don't. It's not a regular season points.
Oh, really?
No, I found out the hard way. Because last year, I fucking had it. I, at the end of the year, I'm like, oh, points be my money. He goes, no, dude, it rolls over in the playoffs. I mean, I ended up winning the points title, but I didn't know it extenuates through the playoffs, which I think is fucking dopey. But
all right, let's stop boring people with our fantasy baseball.
Right, yeah, let's stop boring the shit out of people with this stuff. I mean, ladies, get out the mop and buckets. Am I right? Anyway. So the show, it's coming along. I actually bought, you're gonna laugh, I've got t-shirts made. They're on sale now, $16 plus $4 shipping and handling. Cool logo on the back and in the front. You can check it out at comics watching comics.com. I don't have a credit card link yet. I'm working on that, But no, and the live show should be coming up in November. We're talking about some places where to have it, and when that's official, I shall announce it to the world. So you get to see it the live. So you'll ask what the live show is going to be.
Awesome.
The live show is going to be all the six winners, if they can make it, of course. But yeah, and I've heard the world, all six winners, some of our favorite panelists. The master panelist, Jeffrey Gurian, of course, will be there.
Of course.
As well as a little thing I call a redemption section, where we have about three or four people who really ate shit on their segment.
Come back.
They all get a minute. And the crowd is going to determine by applause who that winner is. And the winner will get to do a full set that night on the live show.
Oh, all right. So, that's fun. Cool.
Yeah, thanks. The chance for them to redeem themselves in the eyes of the audience. So
awesome.
That's what the live show is going to be.
All right, man. So where do people go to check this the show out if they've never seen it?
Go wait a week or two and go on Amazon Video. Amazon Video, you can watch it there. It'll be on Prime. If you have Prime, you got it for free. So there you have it. And then all the seasons will be rolled out sooner or later. At Comics Watching on Twitter is the Twitter, Instagram, Comics Watching Comics, same thing, .com for the website. And that is the spiel, good sirs.
Ooh.
All right, Mr. Goatee. Good luck with the next, arrangement of the show here as you move to Amazon. I'm proud of you. It's come a long way, so keep it up. And I'll
Thank
see you.
You
soon, buddy.
Good luck,
Thanks
man.
A lot, guys, for having me. Always a good time coming to the podcast. Appreciate it. Talk to you guys soon.
Adios.
Bye.
Later.
Good for Kevin.
Yeah. Always glad to hear somebody coming up with a new idea and it catches on.
Yeah,
and
pushing on a little bit.
I mean, Amazon, that's nothing to laugh at, man.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a quick pee, and then we'll get to the end of this.
All right.
Saga. All right. So before we get out of here, I told you that every once in a while I like to kind of the podcast Tell 'Em Steve Dave kind of inspired me because they always do like a monthly episode of like all these like paranormal things or weird things and you know, so it's kind of a nod to them, but it's also just interesting. I like to talk about some weird things. I don't have a name for our segment, so.
Curlew?
Yeah. So I brought something today. I read it online. It was pretty wild. So this man's apartment is haunted, and he's documenting it on Twitter, which I also, after this, want to try to find him and see if we can maybe get an interview. But we're going to go through this, and we're going to kind of read it, and we'll kind of comment along the way. But it's pretty freaky as I was reading this thing. So the guy's name is Adam, a writer is claiming that he's being haunted by a dead child named Dear David, and he's documenting the entire thing on Twitter. Adam Ellis, he's a writer for BuzzFeed, right? So it starts off, okay, Adam Ellis says, so my apartment is currently haunted by the ghost of a dead child, and he's trying to kill me, okay? And then it goes on to this long, long, long thread of what's going on, all right?
Okay.
So he said, he started appearing in my dreams, but I think he crossed over into the real world now. The first time I saw him, I was experiencing sleep paralysis and saw a child sitting in the green rocking chair at the foot of my bed. So already we're
A little freaky.
Yeah. Don't be scared. You can hold on to me if you want.
Right there?
Left.
Oh,
left.
Okay.
The first time I saw him, I was he had a huge misshapen head that was dented on one side. I did my best to draw it. So he draws this kind of creepy looking figure, and you just peek over. There's going to be videos that you're going to look at, too.
All right.
For a while, he just stared at me, but then he got out of the chair, and I started shambling towards the bed. All right.
All right.
And actually, you could probably just bring this up so you could read at the same time. I couldn't move because I was paralyzed. I have sleep paralysis fairly often. It sucks. See, that scares me. Sleep.
Yeah, and my friend Ashley, who came to my 40th birthday party, she gets that at times. She says like the freakiest thing where you're awake but you can't move a muscle and you're like petrified.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah. Right before he reached my bed, I woke up screaming. I had another dream a few nights later where I was in a library and a girl came up to me and said, "You've seen Dear David, haven't you?" I was like, "Who?" And she said, "Dear David, you saw him." She continued, "He's dead. He only appears at midnight and you can ask him two questions if you say David, Dear David first." Then she added, "But never try to ask him a third question or he'll kill you." Okay, so
sounds like an interesting game show.
I was thinking like movie or like, you know, it already has like the...
I don't want a movie because they always suck at those premises. They always screw it up in some way.
Well, I was going to say it already has like more backstory than a lot of these awful horror movies do.
The Bye Bye Man. That's an actual movie.
Okay, so you can't ask David three questions.
It has to start with Dear David.
Right, like Bloody Mary, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Then David came... So then David came back in another dream, same situation. I was in bed, and he was sitting in a rocking chair near the window staring at me. In the dream, I say, "Dear David, how did you die?" He mumbles, "An accident in a store." I say, "Dear David, what happened in the store?" He groans, "A shelf was pushed on my head." I'm frozen with fear. I ask, "Who pushed the shelf?" David doesn't answer. I'm frozen with fear. I ask, "Who pushed the shelf?" I realize that I've asked a third question, which I'm not supposed to do. At that point, I wake up absolutely terrified. Right, so he's appearing.
Well,
in his
dream. Didn't say "Dear David" beforehand, so maybe that doesn't count as a third question.
Okay. Next couple days, I Google deaths in the city, but can't find anything about a kid named David dying in a store.
Then the FBI came to my front door.
I even tried different names: Daniel, Dylan, Devin. Nothing. A few weeks go by without an incident. Okay. Sort of randomly, the apartment above mine is vacated, and I have the opportunity to move into it. It's a larger apartment, so I'm thrilled. As I'm choking on a granola bar. All right. Another month or two goes by, and I sort of forget about Dear David. I think he lost track of me because I moved upstairs.
Okay.
But lately, something strange is happening. For the past four nights, my cats gather at the front door at exactly midnight and just stare at it, almost like something is on the other side. So if you peek your head over here, he's showing his cats. Stare just kind of at the door.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Interesting.
Now, last night, I got a weird feeling and looked out the peephole, and I'm dead certain I saw movement on the other side. When I opened the door and turned on the hall light, nothing was there, but my cats seemed unnerved, bushy tails, etc. And that's where I am right now. Dear David found me. I think I don't know what to do. I'll keep you updated. Okay, so next update was, update for the sixth night in a row. My cat has walked over to the door promptly at midnight and stared at it. So he's showing now a cat, midnight, with a clock in his hand. Although it's a couple minutes after 12.
Yeah, it's 12:02. What the hell, man?
This story's fluid.
Fake news.
Nope. The sixth night in a row, my cat walked over the door. Okay, so what is going on, he says. All right, so now he shows a little video.
Okay.
And it's just kind of going to be the cat meowing at the door. So you guys might be able to hear that. So the cat is staring. The video is the cat just kind of looking towards the doorknob, basically. And it's a little weird.
Shaking his head.
Mm-hmm.
Twisting its head.
All right, so... Okay, so I couldn't tell, so I mustered the courage to open the door. Nothing was out there, but I took another photo. Look at this. All right. So is it just me, or is there something in the first photo right where the banister meets the shelves? Okay, so I'll enlarge these pictures.
All right.
So it's kind of hard to tell. I tried looking at it, but he says, if you look closely, there's like this kind of like...
Kind of looks like a smog or...
Yeah, like a mist almost by the peephole by his stairs. All right. So.
He should get that ring. That video.
Yeah,
door.
Well, actually, we're going to get to that in a second.
Oh, okay.
He kind of goes to that. So, I wasn't sure if it was a smudge or something, so I took a second photo from inside, and there was something out there. So, it's kind of a similar photo, and you do see a similar thing now. Who knows? People can do anything with Photoshop, but I don't know. I deadbolted the lock and got in bed because I don't know what else to do. I could still hear the cat meowing at the door. I am pretty scared. Okay, so he's got a picture of his cat.
That's actually the scariest thing so far.
Yeah, eyes lit up. he started getting advice from people from Twitter.
Okay.
So he said
best place to go for paranormal
naturally.
Advice.
Yeah. There's a lot of paranormal activity on Twitter. But he said, I used a sound app to record my apartment last night. It makes individual recordings each time it hears something. There were 33 recordings. Most of them pretty vague. A couple of them passing are passing cars and the like, but there are three that I'm interested in. Okay.
All right.
Said most of them are so the first one is a snapping sound and what seems like a single step. It's odd because I didn't get out of bed all night. All right. So we're not going to play the sounds.
No.
Okay, but if you listen to them, it just sounds like a step, okay? This one is weird because out of 33 recordings, this is the only one that has strange electric sound throughout. So if you listen to it, it's like a current sound.
Okay.
Right? And then he says, this directly follows the electric static, another snap, and then I groan in my sleep. These happen between 2 to 3 a.m. I have no explanation for them. I'll keep recording and share it if I find anything curious.
Hmm.
Right. So what are you doing at this point? Is this happening to you?
I mean, it's kind of freaking me out. I'd probably take some Benadryl, try to get through the night,
yep.
not to be concerned with it, or go into another room and watch TV and just, you know, turn my mind off from thinking about it, because it's one of those
very
when
hard
you're,
when you're living alone, too.
Yeah, you know? I mean, when you're creeped out, you just got to find some way to distract your mind so you're not thinking about it constantly.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I think a lot of times when these people get creeped out, like we've all been, it's just your mind doing a lot of things to you, you know, like
yeah.
it might not be anything there, but you're kind of you straddling reality and like what your mind's doing, you know, like
exactly.
what's actually happening. Like where do you stand on ghosts? I know we've talked about this before, but where do you stand on like paranormal activity?
I believe in it in a way, but it's kind of the same as what we talked about with UFOs. I believe in it, but the second somebody says I saw something or I'm concerned, your first thought is it's in your mind. You're thinking about this, blah blah blah, and
right.
It's kind of hard to grasp. You have a feeling that it appears, but you kind of want to make sure you convince yourself, no, it's not real.
Right.
Like a better term. Like when we go over to my sister's house in their living room, like when they do, like they'll put on a recorder, you'll see like the orbs flying around, like little circles
so they think,
of light.
They think her house is haunted?
They don't consider it haunted, but it could be spirits. And they're haunted would be like they're trying to get you out or do something. It just appears. Like they did a video. Is
Demented Brewing, they say, is the building's haunted. They've said
really?
That a couple of times. Yep. But
we should do like a midnight podcast there on Halloween.
Oh, yeah. We should just get hammered first and then do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Got to hear noises. Oh, that's you in the toilet. Never
Am
mind.
Am I peeing?
Is this the beer?
Yeah, I'm torn too. Like, I told you, when I was a kid, I remember, like, thinking that we were in a condo in Florida, like, on vacation. My dad's friend had a condo that we borrowed for a week, and I remember, like, seeing these weird white images, like, on the ceiling. But, like, as I'm older, I'm like, what is that? Maybe, like, reflection off the wall, you know, like, mm-hmm. water reflects. It makes, like, crazy. So, I don't know. I'm kind of in between. But, okay. So, let's pick this up.
All right.
All right. So 33 recordings, static, 2 to 3 a.m. Okay, so these happen between 2 and 3. I have no explanation for them. I'll keep recording and share if I find anything curious. Okay, the next day, Adam decided to get out of his apartment for the weekend and took a selfie before he left. All right, so there's Adam, good-looking
right.
man.
Peace sign.
Good-looking guy.
Got a beard going
He
there.
Says, getting the F out of my haunted apartment for the weekend. Okay, so there's a picture here. Now, someone tweeted him back saying, he's there, eyes, nose, mouth, misshapen head, okay, in the window, okay.
I can kind of see it.
I kind of see it, like here, the one person highlighted it. Now, was that added afterwards? I don't know. So, there's definitely like a smudge or something on his back door, okay. So a weird thing just happened. Take it with a grain of salt. This is where it gets cool. I bought a Polaroid camera this weekend because they're fun and dorky. I decided to take a few photos around my apartment. So he bought like the new school Polaroid camera.
All right.
Then I went in the hallway and snapped the photo. The Polaroid developed completely black. Okay. So you see the Polaroid, the picture part of it is just black. All right. I also thought maybe I accidentally covered the lens with my finger, so I took a photo while intentionally covering it. Okay. So the photo on the left is the one with his, he's covering the lens, and then the one on the right is the fully lit hallway. So he took, the one on the right is like black as like night, and then the one he covered is kind of grainy looking.
Yeah.
So, pretty wild. So this could be nothing. I'm not sure what to make of it. I'll record myself sleeping again tonight, and I have Sage being delivered tomorrow. As always, I'll keep you in the loop. So I guess Sage is supposed to do something with spirits. Look up Sage and Spirits.
Sage and Spirits. It's a rock band in Portland.
Yeah. Record myself sleeping again. Okay. Okay. One last thing, because I wanted to double check. Here's a couple videos of me taking photos. Okay. So he's taking photos here.
All right.
So he's showing you that. All right. So he's taking the photo. He's putting it on his TV stand. Okay. So then he says, okay, one last thing I wanted to double check. Here's a couple videos of me taking photos and then the hallway. All right, so let's see what he's doing here. He's walking around this hall. Here's the door. There's the peephole that we were seeing the pictures from. So he's opening the door, and he's going to snap a photo of the hallway where he thinks Dear David is or has been.
As I'm watching this, I'm waiting for it to be like one of those internet troll things like, where it's like, yeah, the screamer.
Yep. Okay. So, I forget if anything happens in this video. Oh, yeah. So he's showing you now the picture developing. Black.
Interesting.
You freaked out yet?
It's creepy.
Yep.
It's creepy.
Yep. It came out totally black again for the second time. Honestly, I don't know why I'm still around with effing around with this camera. There might be a logical explanation. Someone told me to take photos from further away, so I tried that once with my iPhone and once with the Polaroid. Okay, so the left here, Berlo, is the one with his iPhone, and the hallway is completely lit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the one on the right is the Polaroid, and the hallway is black.
Ooh. Wow.
Okay. All right. So apparently the strange faces have been showing up in some of the photos I take. A couple of people have pointed out, which I don't have a real explanation for. So we'll enlarge that. Boom. And definitely in the right one, you could get some kind of face kind of image there.
Yeah.
All right.
That is creepy.
Hold on, brother. Hold on to me. Oh, just keep holding on.
All right.
A little tighter.
Which butt cheeking?
All right, so here's the sage. So did anything on sage there?
Let's see. It's an herb that had a long history that dates back to ancient Egypt. Sage has been used through the centuries to heal menstrual cramps, worms, coughs, memory, cancer, and help muscle inflammation. I'm trying to... It said at the top about have bad spirits, so sage can help.
Well, he says folks have been urging me to get some sage, so
okay,
he did.
Okay, here we go. Burning sage through the house and praying that all negativity must leave is still practiced in modern times. All
right, so and I guess that's what he's doing. He's got sage, it's lit up. He says folks have been telling him to get it, so he did. Saging the hall and definitely saging the hell out of the rocking chair. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's the green chair. Well, guess what? It didn't work. It made everything worse. Okay, sage did not work. I haven't dreamed about David in a few months, but he appeared again last night.
Uh-oh.
Yep. In the dream, my bedroom was filled with hazy smoke, but I could see David sitting in the chair across the room. He was smaller this time, almost shrunken. He didn't do or say anything except look at me. Anyway, it feels like a bad omen. This happened twice. I had a dream that night where David was dragging me by the arm through an old abandoned warehouse. I'm not sure why I didn't fight back in the dream or how he was strong enough to pull me, but that's dream logic for you. It was a creepy dream, but I didn't think much of it when I woke up. I took a shower and then noticed something. I'd woken up with a huge bruise on my arm.
Right. Oh.
So he's got a big bruise right around where like someone would drag you by the arm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, now look, maybe I injured myself the day before and my arm was hurting during the night, which manifested as a dream. There could be a total logical explanation for it. So I brushed it off. I went to get coffee, which I do every weekend. All right. So now he's getting injured.
Oh, okay.
There could be totally logical explanation. Oh, sorry. When I walk to the coffee place, I always pass a food cart repair depot. It's always incredibly busy, especially on weekends. I lived in the neighborhood for over 4 years, and the place has always been jam-packed with the carts getting serviced. I lived in the, but today it was completely abandoned. The whole warehouse was totally gutted and empty. So you're the empty warehouse. So like the business up and left maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, almost empty. I went inside to look around because I was astonished that this place was suddenly empty after all these years. Basically, the only thing in the entire warehouse was a single green chair. Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you recall, David first appeared in my green rocking chair. It could be nothing, but it's weird that it was the only thing left behind. Shortly after the usual cat stuff around 10:30 or so, I started getting phone calls from an unmarked number. My entire call history for the past week looks like this. You'll notice that I answered once. So if you look, he's got tons of calls from no call, like no caller ID on the iPhone. All right. Since this has been happening for days on end, I thought it might be an automated telemarketer or something. Instead, what I heard on the other end was a peculiar electrical static sound, very similar to the static my sleep app picks up at night. After about a minute, the static stopped and there was silence. I kept listening. I heard what I thought was breathing, but it was so faint I can't be sure. My heart was racing, so it was hard to hear. Then, just as I was about to hang up, I heard a very small voice whisper, "Hello." Something about the way the hello freaked me out. It wasn't a question or a greeting, just hello, a flat statement so quiet I could barely hear it. I panicked and hung up. I didn't know what else to do. I closed all the curtains in my apartment and turned on every single light. I watched TV until dawn because I was too scared to go to sleep. I sort of feel like I'm losing my mind. If I took out look at each individual incident on its own, there are perfectly logical explanations for everything. But after 3 weeks of weird shit happening, I don't know how to make sense of it all. But the only thing I feel like I can do right now is write everything down, so that's what I'm going to do, and that's what I keep doing. Okay. So I moved the green chair out of the bedroom weeks ago. It's been in various parts of the living room ever since.
Okay.
I should probably get rid of it, but I'm not sure that would have any effect. Also, I'm going on vacation to Japan in 3 weeks, and I keep thinking that if I can make it to this trip, this will all end, as dumb as that sounds. David lost track of me once when I moved, so maybe if he believes I left the apartment again, he'll leave me alone. Anyway, last week I bought a pet monitoring camera so I can keep an eye on the cats while I'm overseas.
Oh, Furbo.
Yeah. It's basically a nanny cam that connects to the Wi-Fi so you can check in whenever you want. It runs 24/7. It also alerts you to the sound and movement via an app. I blacked out the company since I doubt they will want to be associated with ghosts. Okay. So sound detection or video detection. If I had one of those cameras, like, Obi would never set off the camera. There would be no movement ever. My phone pinged periodically throughout the evening, alerting me to the cats running around and playing normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then around 11, alerted me again that it detected motion. But when I checked the feed of my apartment, I didn't see anything. So I watched the feed again. Still nothing. I watched it a third time and finally noticed something. Watch the chair, Mike. Watch the green chair. So it's just a video of his apartment. Okay. Just a steady cam footage. So look at the green chair. It's rocking on its own. Pretty wild. Okay.
That's nuts.
Yeah. All right. So we continue. So, if you guys watch the video, the green chair in the corner of the room just starts rocking on its own. If you missed it the first time, like me, look above the shelf. It's a little there's a little turtle shell on the wall. Okay, so again, if you look at it above the shelf here, this is a turtle shell.
Okay. Right
here. Okay. We'll get to that. All right. Yes, I know it's weird to own a turtle shell, but my family lives in Montana, and I picked it up last year at a native trading post. I hope nothing else happens tonight. Wait, WTF, someone just pointed out that one of the blue chairs in the background disappears in the second video. All right, so I guess there's a blue chair back here that disappears.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to watch the video again. I just went and checked, and the blue chair is back where it's supposed to be. All right. He says, "I am not staying here tonight." Wait, now people are pointing out that the chair is still there. It's just the lighting. This is too much. I'm taking a Xanax and going to bed. Okay, so that is what he's updated as up to now.
Wow.
Yeah. Dear David.
Would you stay in that house?
I don't think so. Nope.
I gotta agree.
Nope. I'm getting out of there, man. There's a lot of apartments out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if I'm breaking my lease or whatever, but something's happening where I'm not staying there mm-hmm. for a while. Or I'm bringing my...
I'm renting it out to somebody else.
I'm bringing my paranormal guy that we had on the podcast to come check this thing out because I'm not staying here anymore. So, I don't know. Let's check if he's got anything else up. Adam Ellis. Because this article is a couple days old. Maybe he... So he made a store. Yes, I'm alive. I'm just not home. All right, so yeah, not much update. So I guess he's home. I'll keep you updated should anything happen.
I mean, it's Labor Day. I mean,
ghosts need a break, too.
Yeah.
Pretty wild, right?
That's some interesting stuff there.
Yeah, I read that. I was like, oh, man, we got to do this on the show.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Freaky.
But, yeah, so Adam Ellis, I'm going to try to tweet at him and see if he would do an interview about what's going on.
Well, that'd be cool to hear what his mind's saying.
A lot of followers, jeez. But yeah, so that's my paranormal bit for today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you have anything?
Or I have three different ones. We can talk about the Island of the Dolls.
Oh.
We could talk about H.H. Holmes and his murder castle.
Murder castle.
Or we can talk about teratoma tumors.
Is that the ones with, like, the hair and the teeth in them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go with the murder dolls. I want to hear about the murder dolls before we leave.
Oh, well this, basically what happened is there is an island called the Island of Dolls. The sinister playground floats in a canal from outside of Mexico City. The island's former caretaker, Don Julian Santana, said he found a young girl floating dead in the canal more than 50 years ago. Now, most people just consider it a tale, but whatever the case, Santana proceeded to collect dolls from the trash and canals for decades afterwards, hanging them around the island in an attempt to please the young girl's spirit. In 2001, Santana was found floating dead in the same spot where he said he once found the girl.
So the guy was found dead?
Yes.
All right.
He was found in the same place he said he found the girl. The island officially opened to tourists after his death. What remains is a dark, decaying forest of Mexican misfit toys with decapitated heads, severed limbs, and blank eyes that totally creep people out.
Oh, man, I don't like it.
That's in total island. Natives have said when they walked around on the island to hear footsteps and different sounds on the island.
I don't like those pictures.
It's considered a very haunted
place. I hate
place.
Dolls, man. I hate dolls. The eyes and stuff.
My mom has an antique doll that is the creepiest goddamn thing. And anybody comes over the house and they see the doll, they instantly put a blanket on top of it when they go to sleep.
Really?
So they don't
tell her to take a picture of it so we can post it online.
I'll definitely do that. Yeah.
So we could like put it on Instagram.
But that's a quick one, but that's basically the premise. So no, it's a creepy doll island. Where they still say spirits lurk.
There's no way you're getting me on that. Hold on.
It's Mexico to begin with, so.
Yeah, that's weird, man. I don't like that. That's like the,
Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like the, I'll have to do it for another show, but there was some, like, wooded area with, like, just had, all the trees had just, like, pictures of missing kids.
Oof.
Like, just all those, like, missing flyers. Like, just, like, hundreds and hundreds of them, like, on different trees. But I guess we'll continue to creep you out in different episodes.
I do that regularly.
Doll Island, and we'll see what happens with Dear David here. We'll keep tabs on Adam Ellis' Twitter for next week. But, Burlow, anything to promote? Let's get out of here. It's Labor Day.
Well, first, I'll congratulate Expogo. They have now an advertisement with Burger King advertising their cheesy tots.
Expogo!
So good for them. And all, we interviewed Biff Hutchinson about a month and a half back on being a part of that group, so you can go to that. But more importantly, again, I'll say redcross.com or 1-800-RED-CROSS. Go on there, give some money to the people of Houston. They're going through a hell of a tragedy. People of Louisiana also got some of that, and it's a very sad situation, and it hurts this hurricane season. Now we're talking about another one coming by Florida. So
yeah, possibly one to us too.
Yeah. So let's help out people. RedCross.com.
We were actually able to the tap out show on Thursday. That's what I did the charity for.
Nice.
So we raised some money for that, which was cool. And I guess in that same line of, I don't know, same with Tap House, we're back on the 28th with a loaded lineup. Mark DeMeo, Ritu, Chandra, Pamela Ray, and Bill Cheng. So it's a really awesome lineup. Hopefully that will fill up completely. So call Tap House 15 and go check them out. With that, let's get out of here, Berlu. Let's, you know, like, do you have an announcement for everybody now?
No, what we just went through
Man
this
Pop,
stuff.
Just say it. Just say it. Join the pack, as he calls it.
Joining them. I'm very happy for Kaz Pup.
All right. Well, maybe next year. Maybe next year when we get back on. Yeah. But let's thank Kaz Pup and Kevin Goatee and all that. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Hey, keep subscribing. What are you showing me?
Those are the tumors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we'll get to that another show. Save it for the next creep out segment. Bye bye, people. Share the podcast, damn it.